There's going to be one thing that I'm going to dread, Brother Virgil talked about dreading things. There's going to be one thing that I'm going to dread in the next few weeks, and that's that I'm not going to get to be with you as much as I'd like to, because I'm afraid things are going to get back to normal. And I want you to know how much I always enjoy coming and being with Brother Guthrie and Brother Virgil and you all, and it's a great pleasure for me. He is truthfully telling you what we had. We had to memorize scripture.
Yeah.
Miss Ruth Waddell was my fourth grade teacher, and she's still living. She's in the nursing home at Collinsville, Alabama. And I visit with her every once in a while. Her mind's just as sharp as a tack. And I'm going to mention this to her the next time I go to see her. There's a little boy named James Reeves who went to school with us. He's dead now. But the best thing I can remember about James is James was supposed to remember the 23rd Psalm. And he's got started with the first verse, and this is what he said. The Lord is my shepherd, that's all I want. Miss Ruth said he was wrong. I said he's right. The Lord is my shepherd, that's all I want. And I that popped in my mind as quick as he said that. A few of those things that I got in school still stick with me, believe it or not. Thank you, Brother Virgil, for those great words. And I trust that you'll pray for me for the time that I stand before you. The book of Ephesians is a wonderful testimony of Paul's message to a Gentile church that had been established in the midst of, to some degree, the falling away in the days after the Lord descended and sent out his preachers to preach the gospel and to establish those things that had been ordered from heaven. And just lest I forget it, you remember that these things that the Ephesians heard and the churches of the New Testament had been kept secret since the foundation of the world. Now, if you'll read Romans 6 and 25, you'll find out that these things were hidden until God gave his preachers their marching orders. And as he gave them those orders, he instructed them to go, and as you go, preach. And as they preached, you read throughout the experiences of the early church that there they preached the gospel. There they preached the gospel. Paul was afraid one time, and the other disciples were afraid to go to a certain place, but the Lord said, "Fear not, for I have much people in this city." And as they preached, it wasn't anything that the prophets had not spoken about, but it was a greater revelation than what they had known in ages past. And so Paul had the authority as the apostle to the Gentiles to preach these things in order that the Gentiles might understand that they too were a part of the covenants of promise, that they too were a subject to the gospel address, that they too had a part in the great covenant promises that were made to Abraham, and that they too had a circumcision not in the flesh but in the heart. Now Paul addressed the Ephesian church, and this is not what I want to particularly preach about, but I want to lead up to this in the time that I'm before you. Paul began in Ephesians chapter 1, and he says, "Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God. Now that's very important to me. Paul was an apostle or a servant, that's what an apostle is, of Jesus Christ, not by his own choosing. And I want to tell you something, brethren, today, a man that just decides he wants to be a preacher, I'll tell you, it's a red flag to me. Because men are called today as God directed the New Testament church to recognize those gifts and to lay hands on those men with gifts that the gospel might have a perpetuation till this very day. We believe in the perpetuity of the church and of the gospel. Now, what I mean by that is that we can take Macedonia Primitive Baptist right here and trace it back by its doctrine and practice to the days of John the Baptist. That's the perpetuity of the gospel. It has come down to us in that way. And Paul, the apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and he has the authority as an apostle by the will of God. And then he tells you who this whole six chapters is addressed to. Now, the popular idea in the world that the gospel is a good message and it's to everybody in the world. I'll tell you right now that Paul didn't address it that way.
No, he didn't.
Paul addressed his message, notice, to the saints or the sanctified. Saints are not sinless, but they are sanctified. To the saints which are at Ephesus, at this particular church. But not only that, he expands that to the faithful in Christ Jesus. That's in every church. So to the saints at Ephesus and to the faithful in Christ Jesus, he says, grace be to you from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. That's important to understand. That you've been blessed with spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Now I affirm to you that the heavenly place and the heavenly places in this text, in my mind, and this is my thought, and I believe it's a sound one at that, in this world, those heavenly places embrace the faithful who are the backbone and foundation of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Those heavenly places where God's people meet together and honor what Brother Herring has talked about, that we are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Let us enter into his courts with thanksgiving, into his house with praise. Why? Because we are the sheep of his pasture. And those who have been sanctified or set apart, not only in eternity, but also in time, that we might honor him who has loved us freely for Jesus' sake. And I'll not belabor this point, but he goes into how we were chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world, predestinated unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ according to the good pleasure of his will, redeemed through his blood, receive the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. So we see who these are. These are the chosen. These are the adopted. These are the predestinated. These are the redeemed. These are the forgiven. Everything that Paul addresses is to that class of people, and he even broadens that fact in chapter 2 by calling them quickened. You see, quickened. Those who walked according to the course of this world, those who were obedient to the prince of the power of the air, That spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. Now that's who these people were. You see, and that's who Paul addressed. But now I want you to come over here with me to chapter 6, and gonna skip a lot. You know, that's the way I do when I read a book. I read a little bit in the beginning and a little bit in the ending, and I can put the pieces of the puzzle together, kind of. You know, if the beginning and the ending make sense, I want to tell you, you can pretty well chart your course through the book. Now, if you believe the first verse in the Bible, and I'll tell you right now, if you believe that, you won't have any trouble believing the rest of it. You won't have any trouble believing it. I know there's things difficult. There's things that I don't understand. But whether I believe it or not, or whether I don't believe it, I want to tell you right now, in the beginning, God created.
Yes.
In the beginning, God created. That establishes that fact to begin with. And I want to tell you, in the end, Jesus wins. You see? And the rest of it fits in to those two bookends. Now Paul comes to Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. Listen now what he says to the chosen, the redeemed, the adopted, the predestinated, and the forgiven. This is what he says. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord.
Yeah.
And in the power of his might, put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Now, friend, I want to tell you, we've had some brethren before that said, well, the devil is just that old human nature that's in us. Well, I'll agree that human nature, which we're all by nature partakers of, I'll agree that identifies with him, that identifies with his direction. But I want to tell you, I believe there is a real devil.
Amen.
And he walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. He's real. Yes, sir. He's got his angels. He's got his followers. He has those who sympathize with him in every degree. But that's the reason that Paul says to these particular people known as the chosen, the redeemed, the predestinated, the forgiven. And you can read to whom this address is made. And he said, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Now, you know, we're taught three ways in the Bible. Three ways. We're taught by direct command. We're taught by necessary implication. And we're taught by approved example. Now, Brother Virgil touched on this. But there are direct commands in the Bible that are given to the people of God that cannot be questioned. And then there are implications that connect to that command. And you understand that those necessary implications imply truth. And I'm going to take the position of Elder Senator J.W. Hardwick in the state of Mississippi. He said that truth implied is as true as truth written. I believe that.
Yeah.
Truth implied is as true as truth written. And then we are also taught by approved example. You know, when Jesus washed his disciples' feet in that upper room, what did he say? I give you an ordinance? No, he said, I give you an example. An example that I've done to you, you also ought to do it to one another. That's the example that Jesus gave to his people. The church only has two ordinances. That's baptism and the Lord's Supper. We have the example of feet washing as an approved example that the church is to be engaged in.
Yeah.
Physically, that is something that we are taught by example. We see it and read about it in a historical way, and it is direct from the lips of the Son of God.
Amen.
And thank God for that.
Amen.
Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Listen here to me, and go with me to the book of Ephesians chapter 4. Let's read verse 24. Listen to what he says here. And the Bible says, put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Now, do you know what the character of God is that we can't see? Righteousness and true holiness. You see? Now, we can't see that because we can't see God. But we are told that that's what his nature is. Righteousness and true holiness. Go with me to the book of Colossians. And in the book of Colossians, notice the terminology that is used here when he says this in chapter 3, I believe it is. Listen to what he says, beginning with verse 5. Mortify therefore your members which are from the earth. Fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. For which things sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience. Do you think God's children can't commit these things? I'm telling you they do. I'm telling you they're guilty. Maybe not of all of them, but we're guilty of some of these things. Then the Bible says, the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience. Now listen to what else he says. In the which time ye also walked sometime. You say that clears up the whole message, doesn't it? In which ye also walked sometime when ye lived in them. All right? He says these live then. But then he says, but now. Oh my God, don't you like that? But now ye also put off all these. Anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not to one another, seeing ye have put off the old man and his deeds, and have put on the new man, here it is again now, which is renewed in the knowledge after the image of him that created him. I like that. I'll tell you right now, when he says that these things are the reason that we put on the whole armor of God, that we might be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Then he gives us a little explanation, some adjectives that bring us along in the lesson. For we wrestle not. You say this is a different ballgame.
Yeah.
We wrestle not against flesh and blood. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand, or withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand therefore.
Amen.
Galatians chapter 5 and verse 1 says, stand for therefore in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free, and be not entangled again in the yoke of bondage.
Wow.
Do you know what that word entangled means? It comes from a word that means noose, like a hangman's noose. You know, there are plenty of God's children that get entangled in things that choke the very spirituality of their life. They choke the spiritual life and the joy that they have in Christ Jesus. But being entangled in this world, and that's easy to preach sometimes. All of us have to go through that. I want to tell you right now, we do not even need to be entangled in it to such a degree that it supersedes everything in our lives. I affirm to you today, that the God that has blessed you deserves our best.
Yes, amen.
The God that has blessed you deserves our reverence.
Yes.
The God that has blessed you deserves our praise and thanksgiving. And I could go on and on in that line of thought.
Yes.
But because He is the creator and sustainer of all things, He deserves our best, and which we fail in giving. The Bible says now, wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God. The whole thing, not part of it. The whole thing, the complete. That ye may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand therefore. This is what He says. Having your loins girt about with the truth. And having on the breastplate of righteousness, your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And then He adds to that, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit. He just tells you what that is. Doesn't leave you to wonder. But the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God.
Yes.
Yeah. And I affirm to you today that in doing all of that, it still doesn't take away all the struggle. You know, this is talked to us as a military struggle. Talked to us about a warfare.
Yeah.
That's the reason Paul encouraged Timothy to encourage those men that had been called as soldiers.
Yeah.
You say soldiers of the cross. Soldiers. I would attempt to say that you here today are soldiers. That you carry a weapon that men can't see. That you have a record of what God has done and what God has said. And that we all, whoever we are, it's good for us. It's good for the world in general. But I affirm to you that it is necessary for He who is chosen, sanctified, redeemed, and elected in order that he grow in grace and in knowledge of the Son of God.
Amen.
Believe that today. Listen, we stand between two enemies.
Yeah.
We really do. You know, Jesus died between two thieves, and we stand between two thieves today. You remember this, the most important thing I saw. Those two thieves, one of them's this, the regrets of yesterday. And the worry about tomorrow. You see? I've got plenty of regrets about yesterday. Oh, I wished I could undo some things. I wished I'd have took the advice of somebody that gave me advice. And yet on the other hand, I'm here today and I'm right now. Before I got here, I was thinking about tomorrow. I really was. And I'm sorry about that. I wished I could keep my thoughts, Brother Virgil, Brother David. I don't know whether you have this problem or not, but I freely confess to you I do. I have my problems keeping my thoughts from being siphoned away by these two thieves.
Yeah.
I have that problem. You know, one day I got up and, I'd started the church, once I still serve. And, you know, I get put out sometimes with the apathy of God's people. I really do. My own crap of it. And I told her this morning, I got up, it was early, we'd get ready, and I said, I just don't believe I'm going to go today. She said, what? She said, I just don't believe I'm going to go. I said, some of the rest of them, they go if they want to, if they don't, it's all right. I said, I just don't believe I'm going to do, see what you think when the preacher don't show up. I believe I'll break them. I'll show them. I'll fix them. You know, I just won't show up and then see how to get along. I'll show them. I sat there and got time clock. She said, you really going to do this? I said, I sure am. I said, I'm going to break them from there. In a minute, she She was almost ready. She said, "What are you going to do?" I said, "I'm going to sit right here in this easy chair. And maybe somebody will show up. If they don't, it won't make any difference." I was aggravated. Y'all ever get that way? That's my mama's word, aggravated. And finally, she come in there and got right in front of me, John. And I'm sitting down like this. She stand up on it. She said, "You get up from there. You get up from there. And you put on your breeches. And you go take a shower right quick. And you get in that car, because I'm going to be sitting out there with it running when you walk out that door." And you know what? I took her advice. It's a good thing I did. And you know what? When I got through seven, joined the church. I kneeled that time. Now, you know what? I had a struggle that day, Brother Virgil. I mean, that's been a lot of years ago. But I had a struggle that day because I was wrestling.
Yeah.
I was in a wrestling match. You know, that wrestling matches are not anything new. Jacob was in a wrestling match one time.
Yeah.
You know, we find that. And then we wrestle again, not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and things in our heart and soul that tend to rob us as children of God. I don't care how elect you are. I don't care how sanctified you are. I don't care how forgiven you are. I'll tell you, you're going to have to live with that. It's a day-to-day struggle with us. And those thieves are constantly there. And then I have to go back and remember again and again what Paul said. "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord.
Yeah.
And in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. And watching whereunto with all perseverance." Do you see what that says? Watching therefore. It's the only time that word's used in the Bible, right there, that I remember. Perseverance. You know what that means? That means to press into it.
Yeah.
Press into it. Yeah. That doesn't mean that all God's children persevere. Because sometimes those two thieves rob them of the blessing.
Yeah.
But we are to press into that, to persevere. But you know what? Your perseverance is not in you. Your perseverance is in God.
Yeah.
Your perseverance is in him.
Yeah.
The only way you persevere is because, thank God, he himself is the surety of every promise that we have.
Amen.
Thank God he is the surety and the security of everything that we have in time or eternity. God said to Abraham, "Look up into the stars. Can you count them?" No. He said, "More numerous than these are the number of thy seed."
Yeah.
When the God of all grace began to speak to Jacob and to Isaac and to the fathers of old, those promises were brought down to us. And then old Brother Peter said in the Acts of the Apostles, "The God of our fathers raised up Jesus Christ according to the promise that he made to the fathers." And thank God today, my friend, we have to wrestle with that, because the enemy on every side tends to draw us away from the basic principles of that promise.
Yeah.
Yes, sir. If you're here today and you love the Lord, I want you to understand that Paul says, not only do I want you to persevere and pray for all saints, but I want you to pray for me. I want you to pray for me and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly. You know what that word boldly means? That doesn't mean with the volume that me or Brother David or somebody has. That word boldly means with the strength that God gives in the hand of the ministry. Boldly, not to be afraid to preach it all. Without fearfulness. You know, they told the disciples. The disciples said, "Don't y'all go down there and speak no more in the name of the Lord." You know what they come back and said? They down there at it again.
Yeah.
They're at it again. Yeah. They were bold in their proclamation of the gospel. They were bold in that. He said that I may open my mouth boldly. Why? Because these two thieves will sometimes siphon my blessing away. He said that I may open my mouth boldly to what? To make known the mystery of the gospel. The mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds. You see, Paul declared himself an ambassador, all right, but he was in bondage in this sense of the word, that he was willing and to boldly preach and make known the mystery of the gospel as an ambassador. You know what an ambassador is? You know, we've got ambassadors. You know, the other day I was in Washington and I was at the British ambassador's home in Washington. That's been back in February, early January sometime. And it was a beautiful place. It was a beautiful place. And I had my picture took with the Queen's picture there, mine and her picture. They fed us. It was so elegant. I enjoyed it so much. It was a great historical experience for me to see everything that was in the British ambassador's house in Washington, D.C. But the ambassador got up and I stood right there by her. Do you know what she did? She welcomed us there. And she said, I speak today, not for myself, but I bring you a message from somewhere else. And I want to tell you, Paul didn't speak for himself, did he? But he brought a message from somewhere else. She never tried one time to get me to be a citizen of England. She never tried one time to make me a son of the British Empire. You know why? Because my sonship's not that. That's not an ambassador's job. Somehow or another, these preachers out here in the world, they haven't had the idea that they're ambassadors for Christ, and we ought to be. But I want to tell you, an ambassador's job is to not make one citizen the citizen of another country. The ambassador's job is to deliver the message from the land they represent. And I affirm to you today, when I stand here, these brethren stand here, I'm not trying to get you to be a child of God if you're a child of the devil. I'm not out here in the world trying to get somebody to get converted, saved, and paid through in order that they can go to heaven. What I am doing is in bringing a message from a far country that tells us that Jesus died, rose, and revived. Amen. That he might be God of the dead and of the living. Yeah. What a message that is. Now, I'm going to wind this down. For which an ambassador in bonds, and wherein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak, but that ye also may know my affairs, and how I do with Tychicus, a beloved brother and faithful minister of the Lord, he shall make known to you all things. Now you see what Paul was saying. Well, now I'm here now, but there's somebody else going to come along. he's going to tell you the same thing I did. He's going to reveal it even further. You see, that's the order always. And he'll make known to you all things whom I have sent unto you for the same purpose, that you might know our affairs and that he might comfort your hearts. Peace be to the brethren and with love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be with all them that love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. Amen. You see, I'll tell you right now, he started right and he ended right, didn't he? He started right and he ended right. He ended up with those who were loved of God, and he started off with those who were loved of God. And he taught them everything in between. And he said, it's not only going to be me, but there's somebody else going to come along. He's going to do the same thing. That's how God operates. You see, the gospel has never changed. The gospel has no need for change. The gospel is still the same message as good news for our country. Just like cool water to a thirsty soul. So God himself still is calling men to preach the gospel. You know what would please me more than anything else before I die, that God would raise up one of these little boys right here that could preach rings around me and David Guthrie and Virgil Harris.
Yeah.
You know it? Now, God bless them. I hope they do. Yes, sir. And I hope you mamas and daddy don't encourage them. Now, you need to preach. I've seen some mamas and daddies that did that. God help them.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'll tell you right now, we don't need any volunteers. But I'll tell you what we did. Somebody said, we need some more elders. I said, we got enough elders. We need preachers. Amen. We need preachers. We got plenty of elders. And I want to tell you, I want to preach the same thing.
Yeah.
I mean, we've got a gospel, and one might take one application and another, and we might travel in a different direction. But I'll tell you, when we come to the end, it needs to be the same place we start.
Yeah.
That's what Paul's method was. If you're here today and you love these things, I've enjoyed trying to preach. Now, there are times I don't enjoy as much as I do other times. But there's times when I enjoy preaching. And I'm glad I'm here today. And I tell you, I've got some regrets from yesterday. I'm concerned about tomorrow. But thank God it hadn't robbed me of the joy I got here. It hadn't robbed me of the joy that I've got today. Thank you for letting me come. God bless you in every way. Pray for me and mine, and pray for these brethren and all our ministry. But most of all, brethren, let us pray for thee. And let us help. Let us pray for God's people wherever they are today, because we struggle not against flesh and blood, but with principalities and powers and spiritual wickedness in high places. Don't let those two things drain the joy that God has given you today. If you're here today and you love these things, you come, we'll put your case before the church, and the church will hear you as authorized by the gospel. What's your number?